Welcome to Spoon Press Audio, the podcast for your daily story fix with your host, author, and award-winning entrepreneur, Anna M.
Hi, everyone. This is Spoon Press Audio. My name is Anna M. And here is then chapter 7 of my story, Don't Know Jack. Just as suddenly as it happened, it's over, and Jack finds himself standing alone in a quiet, dark street. Oh, jeez. Oh, God, he mutters, pressing his fingertips against the sides of his face to stop the wave of panic. The earth is spinning. He's going to throw up. Susanna, they took her. Oh, God, what does he do? What is he supposed to do?
Sir?
At the sound of the voice, Jack spins around. He cries in relief when he sees the policeman standing behind him on the corner.
Are you all right, sir?
No, Jack sobs. They took her, a van. There was a black van, two guys in black masks. They jumped out and they took her. The policeman comes closer, cautious, lifting his one hand as one would to soothe a wild animal.
Okay, sir, just calm down. Take a deep breath. Tell me. Who did they take?
Jack does his best to calm down, but his whole body is shaking now, and the words come out in heaves and sobs.
Susanna, she's my girlfriend. We were walking and then a black van just stopped and they grabbed her. Oh, God.
Jack pushes his hands through his hair. The policeman is standing in front of him now, the buttons of his uniform catching the light from the shop windows across the street, his cap pulled low over his face. He looks young, like a boy.
Did you see the license plate, sir? He asks.
Jack shakes his head. It
happened too fast.
It's okay, sir. I think you need to come with me.
Where?
Let's go down to the station, and then you can give a statement, and we can put out a broadcast telling our people to be on the lookout for this van, okay?
Jack hesitates. He looks down the street to the dark corner where the van had disappeared.
Come on, sir. The policeman nudges Jack by the arm, and then Jack follows him like a zombie back down the dark street.
Don't worry, okay, sir? The policeman says. We'll sort this out. We'll find her. It was a good thing I came by just now. I'm actually off duty, but...
Jack! A woman shouts from across the street, making Jack's head turn. But when he looks, he sees that she's calling to someone else, a little boy who's standing at a vending machine two shops down, eyeing the candy inside.
Get away from there, Jack! The woman calls. You hear me?
A common name. Jack remembers saying to Charlotte's friend, Mr. Beducci, earlier, so many Jacks. Right now, he'd rather be any one of them. Not him. Not the Jack whose girlfriend was just kidnapped. It is just after 8 p.m. when Charlotte slips into the lift in the hospital foyer and presses the button to the second floor. When the hospital phoned earlier to tell her that Blake was awake, she made sure to arrive just as visiting hours ended, hoping to avoid his blonde girlfriend, Molly. She needs to talk to Blake, and she preferred to do it alone. Waiting for the doors to open on the second floor, Charlotte now prays that she doesn't bump into anyone. She's relieved when the doors finally open and the hallways to both sides are empty. Blake's room is the second door to the left. She hesitates in front of the door and then enters. There's no sign of Blake at first glance. The bed is unmade, but empty. The sheets pushed to the side as if he just got up. She glances around the small room and then she hears Blake's voice. It is coming from the bathroom, from behind the closed door.
Yeah, yeah, I'm fine, she hears Blake say. I should be out of here by tomorrow.
Good, someone else says, because this is urgent. Charlotte frowns. It is a man's voice. Is there someone in there with Blake, in the bathroom? The doctor, perhaps?
Reflexes want her to retreat, but some instinct tells her that it is not a doctor, and so she stays put. "I understand," Blake says. "Don't worry, I'll do it." "We need to know that we can count on you," the other man says. His voice sounds hollow, Charlotte now realizes, as if he's on speakerphone. "You can count on me, you know that," Blake says. "You messed up," the voice says. "I know, it won't happen again," Blake says. "I will take care of this myself, don't worry." "You can't send the woman," the voice says. "She can't be trusted." "I know, I'll do it." Charlotte frowns. "The woman? Are they talking about her, doing all those soft jobs for Blake?" She strains her ears to hear better. "Jack Forrester has to be taken care of," the man says. Charlotte gasps at the sound of his name and clamps her hand over her mouth. She knew it. She knew something was up with this whole Jack thing. "I will do it," Blake says. "Are you sure? Because the last person who was supposed to do it failed." "I can do it," Blake says again. "Tomorrow, as soon as they let me out of here, Jack Forrester is dead." A sound escapes Charlotte's throat and she clamps her hand even tighter over her mouth. Did Blake just say he was going to kill Jack? Surely this is a joke. This can't be real. "He is dangerous to our plan," the other man says. "Yes, I know," Blake says. "Don't worry." He hesitates. "And the money? We're still good for it?" £5,000, as promised, in cash, as soon as it is done. Charlotte feels faint. She takes a step backwards and stumbles against the open door, causing a loud sound. She freezes. All is quiet inside the bathroom now. Then the door opens and Blake appears, wearing only a hospital jumper. The bathroom behind him is empty. "Charlie," he exclaims, "what are you doing here?"
I wanted to pop in," she stammers, "and come see if you're okay." As she speaks, Charlotte slowly moves so she can make out the whole of the small bathroom behind Blake. It is empty.
"Who are you talking to, Blake?" she asks.
The smile drains from his face.
"You heard?"
No, I just came in and I thought I heard you talking to someone in the bathroom."
He hesitates, then grins. "I was on my phone," he says.
As he says this, Charlotte's gaze lands on the bedside table where Blake's phone lies, connected to the charger.
"Oh," she says, I see. "Well, I can't stay. Visiting hours are over, so I'm glad you're better. We'll chat tomorrow, okay?"
And before Blake can say anything, she's out the door. Heading back to the lift, she bumps into a nurse coming round the corner.
"Hey, miss, visiting hours are over. You can't be in here."
Yes, I know," Charlotte says, just as the doors to the lift open. A doctor steps out and she slips past him into the lift. When the doors close, her heart is racing and she's breathing fast. What the heck just happened? What is going on? When the doors open in the foyer, she rushes out and heads past reception to the doors. "Charlotte?" She turns when someone says a name and sees a dark-haired woman and an elderly man sitting in the waiting area.
"Mr. Balducci, Melanie, hi," she stammers. "What are you doing here?"
"Just waiting for Dad's medicine now, so we can go home," Melanie says. "We've been here all afternoon doing tests. Poor Dad, he was so exhausted he dozed off earlier. What about you? Why are you here? Is everything okay?"
Oh yes, Charlotte manages a smile. "Just visiting a friend."
Melanie stands. "Listen, can you please sit with my dad for a second while I just quickly pop to the loo? I really don't want to leave him alone."
Charlotte looks over her shoulder, but the doors to the lift remain shut.
Oh, sure, she says, and then slowly exhales. She smiles at Mr. Balducci, who is eyeing her nervously. When Melanie walks off, Charlotte takes a seat next to the old man.
Rough day, Mr. Baducci? She asks. He doesn't answer. How are you doing, You okay?
He looks up at her, his blue eyes watery and hazed. I slept for 2 hours, he says.
That's okay, Charlotte says and smiles. Sleep is good.
I had the most peculiar dream about Edna.
Edna, your wife?
He nods. I dreamed she came to me and told me to give you a message if I see you again.
A little surprised, Charlotte's brows go up. Me?
The old man nods again. He looks so sincerely troubled and vulnerable that she decides to go along with it.
What did Mrs. Baducci want you to tell me? She asks and smiles.
Edna said to tell you that you must help Jack Forrest.
Startled, Charlotte looks at him.
Oh, you mean the author of that book?
Mr. Baducci frowns.
What book?
You showed my friend a book this afternoon, remember? You said it was your wife's favorite. The author's name was Jack Forrest.
Was it? Mr. Baducci stares at her, looking perplexed. Then he sighs and shakes his head.
No, I don't remember that. I'm sorry. I seem to be in the land of forgetfulness at the moment.
Charlotte smiles. That's okay.
But I do remember the dream. Edna told me to tell you to find Jack and that you must help him. He's in trouble, she said. Deep trouble. He needs your help.
Okay, Charlotte says. Why are the hairs on her forearms standing up? Why does it feel as if the space around them is hushed to a silence, as if the walls are listening? No, she's paranoid. Mr. Baducci has Alzheimer's. He can't even remember that he showed them the book this afternoon.
Kilburn Park Station, he says. 8:30. You have to go there.
Charlotte looks up and catches the clock mounted on the wall above the reception desk. It's 8:15 p.m.
8:30 tonight, she asks. Mr. Baducci nods. You have to go there now, he says again, more urgently, as his breathing becomes more rapid. Please, Jack is in trouble. Edna said...
Okay, Mr. Baducci, I will go.
You have to help Jack, he says again.
Okay, I will, I promise.
Footsteps approach and then Melanie is back.
Everything okay? She asks, looking at her father's expression.
All good, Charlotte says. She stands. An urgency has come upon her out of nowhere. I really need to run, she says. Sorry.
Thanks for sitting with him, Melanie says.
Yeah, no worries, but I have to go. Sorry.
Charlotte waves at them, and then she turns and walks to the doors. She walks faster and faster, glancing up at the clock again. It's 8:18 p.m. now. Kilburn Park is at least 20 minutes away. She will never make it. As soon as she is through the sliding doors and outside, she starts running.
That was then chapter 7 of my story, Don't Know Jack. Things are getting very tense now. Can't wait to see what happens next, but you'll have to wait for chapter 8 because it is still inside my head. Hopefully, I will have it to you as soon as possible. In the meantime, please pop me an email with your feedback at spoonpress_uk@gmail.com. Stay safe, stay well, we'll chat soon. Bye.
Welcome, all story lovers. Dive into the enchanting world of Spoon Press Audio, your go-to podcast for a daily dose of fiction. Whether you fancy brainy masterminds, gutsy heroes, or cheeky lovers, we've got stories to captivate you and sweep you away from the ordinary humdrum of your day. Created by the award-winning author and entrepreneur, Anna M., Spoon Press Audio is a perfect blend of laughter, intrigue, and suspense. But also, these stories are specially designed to boost your brain power and mental well-being. So be sure to hit the subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts. Join us on an epic adventure only at Spoon Press Audio.